Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. Let's go to verse number 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, meaning it's God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now, we understand in here that God has inspired the Word. We understand that it serves a purpose to develop us from faith to faith and glory to glory. But here he gives a series of things that the Word of God will instruct us in. For doctrine, reproof, correction, right? For righteousness, understanding of righteousness. The Word of God is a multifaceted, how can I say, product. It's a multifaceted gift from God that is able to minister into every area of our lives. There's not a challenge you will face. There's not a problem you'll go through that I don't believe the Word of God has your answer. Not only does it have your answer, it has the answer for how you can come through it victorious. God intends for us to be victors. Amen? Never defeated. To be overcomers. To be those that rise to the top versus just trying to survive. And God's raising up an end-time church that understands they can apply spiritual principles and come out on top and manifest His Shekinah glory. Well, in here, we go through a lot of different messages, teach on a lot of different topics, subject. I tend to teach topological, sometimes exegesical, meaning exegesical means you start at the beginning of a book, you go all the way through it. In fact, we're doing that with Ezra and Nehemiah right now, teaching all the way through the book. But I tend to be a topical teacher. And we teach on a myriad of topics. And, you know, sometimes you think, well, I'm learning this over here, and then I got to learn this over here, and I'm learning this over here. Sometimes it can get like you have so many balls in the air that you don't understand which way to turn to grow spiritually. And I want to take the next few weeks, and chart our teachings. We're going to make a flow chart of what we teach in here. So you can start to piece together, why is he teaching that over there? Why is he teaching this over here? Because I believe everything I teach, I pray over, I seek God on, I try to find out what do we need as a body to go to the next place. Because God's putting together this big jigsaw puzzle. It's more like a Lego building, a 3D Lego building. I need John here to appreciate Legos, right? Josh, do you like Legos too? Amen. A Lego construction of all these different aspects of the Word of God, these truths of the Word, to put them together to allow us, let's just say it's a Lego airplane, spaceship, to soar into high places with Him. And so these teachings, I believe, are necessary to renew our mind to everything God's made available to us. Because any area of our mind that we don't renew to the Word of God, the enemy can use as an entryway to keep us limited in natural thinking. Amen. And so I've taught in the past of 7 steps to fulfill your destiny. Remember these? And they all start with what letter? Start with the letter P. And so we're going to put those down because if we want to follow these 7 steps, and I believe everything we teach should to some fashion fit into these 7 steps. And so we may not even get past these 7 today. We'll see where we end up at. So when we're talking about fulfilling our destiny, what do we find at the first thing that we've got to understand as a person wanting to fulfill our assignment with God? Purpose. Very good. Hey, you guys, are you looking at notes or you just remember? That was really good. I've got to say nobody knows. And I had 4 or 5 people holler purpose out. A few really blew it and said plan. They jumped to step 2, but we forgive you for that. At least you had something started with a P, right? I tell you what, I think, yeah, this will do. We're going to start up here with purpose. Now that you've got the right answer, who knows what our purpose is? We discovered every believer has the same purpose. What is our purpose? To know God. We were created to be friends with God, to fellowship with God. Amen? God didn't create us as little ants to be scurrying about doing nice tasks for Him. Oh, look at them go. Look at them run. Oh, I'll pit these against these. And hey, I can make these go over here. That wasn't God's idea. It says in Scripture that God made man in His own image after His own likeness. Gave them full dominion, right? Gave them the earth. That's why it's such a mess, is because God gave it to man. God's not messing it up. Man's messing it up. Right? That's why, you know, my girls were at home. Patty would keep the house immaculate. And you'd open the girls' door and it looked like a tornado went through there. Why, that was their room and that was their responsibility. We couldn't blame Patty because Patty was not going to clean the girls' room. Amen. We would threaten the girls to get them to clean their room. Occasionally, they shove everything under the bed or in the closet and say, we're done. Have you had young girls as well? Now, we know that guys keep everything perfectly clean. It's the... Amen. Got strife in the church already this morning. Grace, do your boys keep everything just perfectly clean? Amen. And so, the earth is a mess because man's messed it up, not God. God's waiting for man to pray to give him access to come in and fix some things. And I believe he's fixing some things right now. Amen. Putting some things back in order. So our purpose is to have relationship with God. Everything we do, everything we're called to become, all ties to this purpose. This is why we were created, to be a friend of God. Amen. And friends with each other. God's building together a body. So we all have the same purpose. But we discovered, once you find out your purpose, there's a second step God takes you into, right? In other words, there's a second thing He wants you to step into. That's knowing your plan. Say it again. Louder.
Plan.
There you go. Now you're on tape. God has a plan for us. It says in Ephesians chapter 4 that there's one calling on your life, right? So the second P. is plan. Plan is that individual calling on your life. It's the thing God's called you to do that He's called nobody else to do. He's gifted you specifically for certain tasks. He's assigned you, you know, could be to be a business leader, could be to be a homemaker, it could be to be a minister, it could be to be a politician. Lord, help you. But God's got a plan for your life. Amen. And if you'll seek God, He will show you the plan. Or He may not show you the end result of the plan, He will just show you the next step of the plan. He may just show you what to do today. But if you follow the leading of the Spirit, He will get you to this great assignment for your life. And we discovered everybody's plan is different, but everybody's plan is great. God doesn't just call anybody to just survive. He calls us to thrive, right? And so we understand that once you know God's plan for your life, you can understand that His plan is always greater than you can do of yourself. Because God always wants to take us back to purpose, which is a relationship. He wants to give us a plan that always keeps us in connection with Him. I don't know about you, but what I'm doing with God, I've always got to be before Him saying, God, help me. God, I need this. I need wisdom. I need strength. I need finances. I need whatever. Anointing. God's plan for you is always far greater than you could ever accomplish of your own strength, ability, and wisdom. Why? Because He wants to do it with you. Have you ever played a game with somebody And maybe they were just really good. Let's say you're playing a basketball game and you're all playing a pickup game, but one guy's really good and he knows he's really good. So once he gets the ball, nobody else touches it on the team. Do you follow me? And so no matter what he gets, he dribbles, shoots, scores, and you're just standing here watching. How about you're playing some type of board game and somebody's really good at it? And, you know, they just take the lead and answer every question or, you know, take every move, whatever it might be, and you just sit back and you watch them play. Have you had that happen before? You're married to Tim, right? Well, God doesn't want us having Him sit around while we do everything. Well, you know, God, I can take this one, I can do this one. See, we get into trouble when we think we can do everything by ourselves. Even when I try to work on stuff and I know I'm good at it, I know I can do it, I've done it before. If I try to do it myself, so many times I get into trouble. Something won't come free, something snaps off, something goes wrong, and I realize I didn't pray ahead of time. I'm trying to play the game by myself. Well, God calls us to a plan that is so great, you can't do it of yourself. You just can't. And hey, if I'm at a basketball game and I've got somebody, I know they're really good, but they do pass the ball, I'm going to make sure when it's time to score the game-winning goal, I give them the ball. Right? Here, you take it. Well, I want the one with the most ability to win the game for me. When we invite God into our plans, we have the ability to win every time. We try to do it ourselves, we put ourselves in jeopardy of falling short. Right? And so, understand when God calls you to something greater than you can do of yourself, you need the third step, which is, you guys are getting good. Are you looking up notes? You need supernatural provision. So this is a progression. I could use my engineering errors from way back. You need supernatural supply. And provision is more than money. Provision is wisdom, strength, divine connections, divine health. Provision covers everything you might need to accomplish your plan. And provision will keep you on your face probably more than anything else in your life. You need God to move in your circumstances. Provision covers your authority. We'll get into all that later. So you need God to supernaturally supply for you. I'm telling you what, the provision for this building, if nothing else, would keep me seeking God. He's got the latest electric bill. At a mild winter, the electric bill for this January was $1,350. Well, that will keep you seeking God, right? And so, when I look at the church and I look at what bills we have coming and the people we have, in my mind I'm thinking, this is not going to match up. Our monthly budget exceeds what it looks like we would normally bring in. Yet, month after month, year after year, God brings above and beyond what I thought would come in, but what in the natural would seem might come in. Because why? He's a supplier of God. So we need supernatural provision. As a minister, the things I'm called to do, I can't do of myself. Right now I'm doing something I can't do of myself. I am not a public speaker. I can't do this of myself. I've discovered if I'm not in the anointing, I can't speak publicly. But if I will get into the flow of the Spirit of God, I can hear the leading of the Spirit, what I'm to say next. He will even help me form words in my mouth to speak the Word of God. Amen. Now you may think he needs to step it up a notch, but I'm doing the best I can with the faith I have to tap into the anointing. You ought to see me without it. No, you shouldn't. So I don't only have to trust God for finances, I've got to trust God for anointing to speak. People come for prayer, they've got needs. See, here's the thing that happens in so many ministers' lives. Somebody will come up and needing prayer for dramatic circumstances. And the best a minister can do is say, oh, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. Have strength. His grace is sufficient for thee. Faint not, little sheep. Amen. God is with thee. I don't want just that. I want in the name of Jesus, you're healed. You're delivered. In the name of Jesus, God supplies all of you. I want results versus nice cheerleading speeches. So when you realize God has anointings that can do all of this, it will keep you on your face, access that provision to do what you can't do of yourself. Right? And whatever you're called to do, you need God. More than you need, realize that you need God. And so God has set aside provision for us. Now we have a name for this provision. We talked about it about a week ago. The name of this provision is grace. Whatever God's called you to do, He has set aside a grace provision package for you to do it. Amen? Grace is more than God's unmerited or undeserved favor. Grace is God's provision to fulfill your personal, individual calling. So when God called me to preach, He had already set aside a grace package for me that had available in it the anointing to teach the Word. Whatever God's called you to do, because it's going to be greater than yourself, He's already set aside a package of grace that has everything in it you need to do it. And usually, what's in the package is stuff you can't do of yourself. You know, pretty much wherever I go, I take a tool bag, toolbox. I take tools. Because I'm always running into circumstances I need to fix something. And in the tool bag, I've got tools that enable me to do what I can't do of myself. Have you ever tried to unscrew a screw with your fingernail? Everybody has, probably. You've tried, the Phillips are even harder. You try to get in there. Maybe I can just grab the edge and you just can't do it. So I have different screwdrivers in my tool bag, different sizes, different shapes to stick in there to be able to do what I can't do of myself. I usually have pliers in my tool bag. Why? To be able to grab things or squeeze things I can't do with my own two fingers. Right? There are certain things I'll try to squeeze, but it comes to the point I've got to have pliers to squeeze it tight enough. The tools are to help me do what I can't do of myself. Amen. In the same way, God's grace package contains components in it that you can't do of yourself. It's to take you beyond yourself, even to amplify what you do. See, the screwdriver amplifies your ability to turn. The pliers amplify your ability to squeeze. God's grace toolbox amplifies your ability to accomplish His assignments for your life. Amen. So everybody's grace package is different. So I can't just decide, hey, I think I want to be an evangelist. I've had enough of this pastoring. Amen. People saying mean things about me. They always talk nice about the evangelist. I'm going to be an evangelist. I don't have an anointing to be a full-time evangelist. If God calls me to do some evangelism, there'll be grace for that, but I'm not called to do it full-time. I would fall flat on my face. And the evangelist decides he wants to be a pastor. Is going to end up in jeopardy because he's not going to have the giftings on his life for pastoring. Amen. So grace is able to take you beyond yourself. That's why some people say, well, I'm not anointed to take care of babies. Well, you probably are if you're assigned. There's a divine connection, a divine order, grace package even for that. Better leave that one alone. Like I felt the excitement go, just drop right off the edge right there. So God's got provision for us to do what we can't do of ourselves. But how do we get that provision? That's the question. How do we tap into that provision? Well, we've learned that God's provision comes in individual packages in the Word of God called. What's the next step? Provision comes, good job, Patty, in the form of promises. Now, what we're laying out 7 steps to fulfill your destiny. But actually, whatever you're believing God for, whatever you're doing for Him, is going to follow this process. This gives us a guaranteed set of steps to go into our destiny. Right? So we find that if you need provision from God, all your provision is contained in the Word in the form of promises. For example, you need healing. There are promises in the Word to say no plague nor calamity shall come near your dwelling. By His stripes, you were healed. He takes all sickness and disease away from you. There are promises. And you access those promises, the power in them, you can live a life of divine health. You never have to be sick again. And if something does attack you, you can become free of it. Healed of it, right? We recognize God's got promises of prosperity, of financial blessing. Amen. He'll multiply your seed. You'll lack nothing. You'll never be begging bread. You'll live in abundance. So in the promises of God, whatever provision you need. You know, if I'm going to the store and Patty sent me with a list to go to the store, she usually doesn't trust me at a very high level with that. But she sends me a few items and I've got a list. I'm going through the store looking for the package she sent. Get the honey nut. Now, what is it? Honey nut bunches of oats. Something like that. And she'll say, huh? With almonds. Honey nut bunches of oats with almonds. She's been eating the cereal for 25 years, every day nonstop. Amen. Sometimes twice a day. Same cereal. Don't ask Patty to change real fast. Me, I'm, let's go. She's like, I've got to eat my cereal. She eats on the clock. Amen. I mean, what time? Hey, time to eat. Let's eat. Shut everything down. We're going to eat right now. That's why if I go late on a service, she may be out the door. She's heading to Burger King or something. Just kidding. No matter what your provision need is, there's a promise in the Word of God. I was talking about the store. So she sends me the list of store. I'm going down the shelves looking for that precise package she desires. Because she doesn't just say, hey, get a can of beans. I've got size, brand, flavor, and coupons most likely. So I've got to go through all the shelves finding exactly what's on her list to put in the basket because that's the provision that she needs. We have the same responsibility. Whatever your provision is, go through the Bible. It's like the stocked shelves of the supermarket. And find what the packages you need and put them in your basket. Say, that belongs to me. I'm taking that one home with me. I'm going to receive that one right now in Jesus' name. And you grab the packages of provision in the form of God's promises. I've not counted, but I've seen at one time or another that there are over 20,000 promises in the Bible. Or that's various verses. There are thousands of promises. There's a whole bunch of them. There's a plethora of promises in the Bible. Plethora of promises. We have fun in here, right? So God's got these promises for us that are individual packaged. How can I say? Individual packaged provision for whatever you need. And so you can go into the Word of God and whatever it is you need, you can find that promise and receive it into your life. So whether it's strength, how many of those promises of strength? Healing, finances, peace, love, marriage restored, your children serving God. There's a promise for it. There are promises for it. And you get to go through the Word of God and select, this is what I want in my life. And how many know we're to claim promises for every area of our life? They give the enemy no entry point to us. So we find out there's promises. So we go through the Word and we find the promises of God. But now, how do we get them? Hey, I found a promise. The Bible says I'm healed and I don't feel well. I need healing. How do I get that promise? Because I mean, it's not enough just to find it. So what is the next P? Anybody remember? You're after that one, aren't you? The next P are principles. Now this is actually an organized step-by-step method to fulfill your destiny. The principles are the spiritual laws that we apply to unwrap promises. See, the primary spiritual principle that we use to access the power of God in a promise is faith. Right? I'm probably trying to go through this too quickly, but the principles become the kingdom laws that let you extract power out of the kingdom of God. The kingdom principles, these principles are spiritual laws that let you access every blessing of God contained in the Word. So here's what we do. We start with a purpose to know God. Out of our time spent in prayer knowing God, He reveals to us His plan. What He wants you to do personally. It could be for the short term, it could be for the long term. He reveals to you a plan. It could be for the day or for the week. But the plan is always greater than you can do of yourself. So you need God's supernatural provision. You need God's strength, wisdom, whatever it might be. But how do you get the provision? Well, we find the provision in the form of promises in the Word of God. Well, now I find the promises. How do I get the supply or the provision out of the promise? By the spiritual principles. The spiritual principles parallel natural principles, what we call the laws of physics. We live in this natural realm that are governed by spiritual laws, spiritual principles. There are laws of thermodynamics, laws of motion, laws of lift, laws of power. Numbers and numbers of laws that govern how things function in this natural realm. And so through the laws of physics, we can take different materials and use laws regarding strength of materials and build an airplane. Attach to it an engine that follows laws of power. And through those laws, put this airplane together and apply the power, and it uses the natural laws of lift and thrust and cause that airplane to fly. What happened? We used natural laws and produced a flying airplane. Now here's the question. Did these natural laws exist 5,000 years ago? They did, didn't they? So had they known it 5,000 years ago, they maybe could have built an airplane that flew over the flood for so many days. Just take a whole lot of gasoline. Be a big plane to hold all those animals, wouldn't it? Or try to survive the flood. They would have been flying up in airplanes. The physical laws that allow an airplane to fly and even be built existed 6,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago. But man did not have the knowledge of how to apply those laws to get the results. Do you follow me? So because of lack of knowledge, he was limited in what he could do. Well, now over time, God's revealed to us revelation of how to apply these laws. I say God because I attribute God to everything we create. We've been able to produce cell phones, computers, automobiles, and motorcycles. Motorcycles. Through applying laws of physics. They could have built a motorcycle 5,000 years ago. But they didn't know how. Didn't even know that it was possible. Couldn't fathom, I'm sure, the man would ever fly. You'd put, you know, 200 or 300 people on a metal cylinder And by applying certain laws, I think it'd fly across the ocean in a matter of hours. Do you recognize in the last 150 years how far we've come as human beings? That 150 years ago, it took, you know, a long time, or maybe 200 years ago before even the railroad, it would take you months to cross the nation, weeks to cross the ocean. Now we do it in a matter of hours. Why? Knowledge and applied knowledge. Well, just like there are natural laws that govern the realm of physics, there are kingdom laws, spiritual principles that govern how things work in God's system, in His kingdom. Amen. And God says if you can apply these kingdom laws, you can have supernatural results. So when Jesus came on the scene, I ask people often, what was it that Jesus taught when He came? What did Jesus teach when He came to earth? Because that should be of importance to us. What did He teach? People say, well, He taught the cross. No, He didn't. He mentioned it a few times. He went to the cross, but He didn't teach on the cross very much. I hear about answering, so I'll get to the answer in a second. I hear you. You get points, credit. You said it first, you get 2 points, Betty. I don't know if she said it first or not, but I'm giving her credit. And so these spiritual laws will produce supernatural power. And Jesus, when He came, I had to get back where I was. Jesus, when He came, some say, well, He taught about feeding the poor. No, He didn't. He mentioned that just one or two times. He didn't teach on feeding the poor. He taught on the kingdom of heaven. He taught on how to apply principles of the kingdom of heaven. He even taught these laws. He said, the kingdom of heaven is as if a man should sow seed into the ground. It should spring up and bring forth. The kingdom of God, through this kingdom, a man can speak and command a mountain to be removed and thrown in the sea. And if he doesn't doubt, it must obey him, right? So He came to teach us these kingdom laws, and then He would demonstrate. We've gone through this before. He would teach all day on kingdom principles, and then He would show how to heal the sick, cast out devils, walk on water, translate from one side to the other. He taught through applying this kingdom knowledge, nothing shall be impossible unto us. And this step of kingdom principles becomes the pivot point of living in God's blessing. Learning these principles. Tithing is a kingdom principle. The Bible says when you tithe, He opens the windows of heaven over you. Pours out a blessing you can't contain. It rebukes the devil on your behalf, right? But it says to the non-tither, you're cursed with a curse. So tithing is a spiritual law that removes us from the curse to the potential blessing. Amen. If it's combined with the cross. You can't just tithe the moving of the blessing. You've got to be born again, right? The power of your words is a spiritual principle. Faith is a spiritual principle. The ability to connect with heaven's supply and bring it into your life. In fact, we're going to talk about these steps here in just a minute. Well, we may do that right now. So, the principles allow you to convert spiritual promise into natural provision. Let me think of a good example for this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. The only one coming to mind, maybe a better one will come to me in a minute, is I use a lot of glues in my activities. In particular, I use a lot of epoxies. J.B. Weld is my friend. Amen. And epoxies usually come in a form of two different liquids, usually in tubes, and almost like slurry or whatever. Two different liquids, we'll call it. and they stay soft as long as they're separate. I've got epoxies that are probably over 30 years old. And I got from her dad. And the packages are crusted. The plastic falls apart. But I tried the epoxies out. I take the tops off, open them, and use them. And they worked perfectly over 30 years ago. So the things stay liquid until you mix them together. But once you mix the epoxies together, the two components, the resin and the hardener, they set up and become rock hard. And it's a miracle. Thank you, Jesus. I fixed so much stuff with J.B. Will. That the two together form something you couldn't have of itself. Well, in the same fashion, kingdom principles convert the promises of God into your provision. So to write this up here, to draw it up here just temporarily. We need provision. It's in the form of a promise. So what a principle does is it takes a principle takes a promise and converts it back to a provision. So we're working down through this chart, but in fact, it really reverses as you apply it. Because the provision then allows you to fulfill the plan and keeps you in purpose. Do you see that? So the principles become key to know how to see God's plans fulfilled. And this is where most churches miss it, is in the principles. Did I say principles a minute ago? Provision keeps you in God's plan. Most churches know God has a plan for them. Most Christians know God has a plan for them. They also know they need provision to do it. They may even know that God has promises if they proceeded that far. But where there's a breakdown is in the kingdom principles. So they get to this place. Let's say they've learned the plan. They know they need provision. They found out the Word of God says they can have it. For example, they find out that they need healing. It's hard to fulfill a plan if you're sick, right? Maybe they need finance and they know they need money. And they come to the place, they know God said they can have healing and finances. That should be simple enough, right? So they go to God, and they say, God, oh, I need healing. Oh, won't you please heal me? Oh, God, if you were sick, I would heal you. Oh, please, please, please. I can't proceed any further unless you heal me. I feel like I'm going to die. I think I'm going to die, Lord God. Oh, please heal me. And what happens? Nothing. They probably get sicker because he just spoke how they were about to die. What happened is there was a breakdown in understanding the principles of the kingdom. Oh God, if I just lay on my face long enough, maybe you'll heal me. That's not what the word says, right? How many of you would feel confident building your own airplane and launching it off of a cliff with you inside? You'd feel confident in it? Amen. I'm not sure I would. I would be afraid that I forgot to invert and multiply somewhere or something. Amen. I'd want some test runs. Most people, unless you're engineering based and have experience, would not feel comfortable building an airplane, getting in it, and launching off of a cliff. Right? Why? Because they may not have properly applied the principles of physics to get the lift result they want. Because physics are unforgiving. You know, you jump off a building and it's 5 stories high and you fall off of it. You know, oh God, please suspend gravity just for a few minutes. I guess you could pray that. But you can't say, gravity, hold up for a minute. Please, gravity, just wait for a minute. Gravity is unforgiving. Gravity works the same way every time, right? Unless somebody accesses supernatural power. The laws of physics are very precise and always totally repeatable. You know, when I fly in those jets over the ocean, I'm looking at those little bitty wings. And the wings are doing like this the whole flip. You get on those planes, and the wings the whole time are doing this. Just keeping you focused, amen. And I wonder, Lord God, don't let these wings fall off. And in my mind, I'm an engineer in my mind, I'm going, how are these spindly wings holding up all this weight with all these people? Yet I know it's been engineered. I know people have applied engineering principles and the laws of physics, and the wings are not going to fall off randomly. Some law of physics would have to be misapplied for something to happen. So I feel safe. Is this okay if I ramble just a few minutes? No, he's overwhelming you at one time anyway. You know what I don't feel safe in? Me personally. When I go to the carnival, I get on those 40-year-old Ferris wheels. Amen? And I look at the guy that put it together. He's down there with a whiskey bottle in his back pocket and a cigar. And I'm going, I trust the laws of physics. I trust the original design. I don't know that I trust him. Amen. Because I know physics are going to work. And I know if he didn't fully apply all the safety laws that are required on that thing, it could be a problem. So I avoid high speed, high elevated rides at the county fair. Or the carnival, the one in the parking lot of Walmart. I'm not going to that ride if I can help it. I trust Kings Island. Amen. I trust because those are properly maintained. The guy's not got the whiskey bottle that, some kid with, one lid up. Let's inspect this thing. Looks good to me. They actually do an inspection. I trust those. Others I don't. Y'all recover now. Help me remember where I'm at. These laws are so repeatable. They're so guaranteed that we can trust them. I know going down the road my brakes are going to work if I properly maintain them. Right? Praise God. In the same fashion, these spiritual principles are very precise, very guaranteed. Say guaranteed. They are guaranteed and they always work the same. So if you apply kingdom law, kingdom principles, you will get kingdom results. But if you don't properly apply the principles, your plane may fall off the cliff that you just built. What I mean is, so many people have not learned the kingdom principles, but they want kingdom results. So they're trying hit and miss methods to access spiritual power. They're hoping and praying something works. Let's just get on the phone chain. Our church has a phone chain. We'll just get on the phone chain and we'll call everybody to pray. Well, probably half the people you have in prayer are saying, I think they're going to die once they hear your symptoms. That's not going to produce results. The Bible doesn't say if you can get everybody in town to agree. It's impossible to get unbelievers to agree with believers. It's just two or more agree. Find you a few to agree with you. In fact, agreement is a spiritual principle, right? One to put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. Spiritual principle. So there are these spiritual laws that if we apply these spiritual laws, we get kingdom results. If we violate the spiritual laws, we're probably going to end up with natural results and then walk around saying, well, I tried to pray and God didn't answer. It just didn't work. It must not have been His will. How many people have died young when people prayed and said, well, it must have been God's will to take them? No, it wasn't. The Bible has a promise called, with long life, you will live, right? Long life. There is nowhere in Scripture that says you're supposed to die young. In fact, it says He gives His angels charge over you to bear you up in all your ways. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. So when people pray and somebody dies, they say, well, it must have been God's will to take them. He needed another angel in heaven. No, they did not properly follow spiritual principles that produce kingdom results. So people start blaspheming God, mad at God, quitting church. Well, God didn't answer. No, you didn't do it right. Amen. He says do it like this. Gave us precise instructions. Jesus came and told us exactly how to do these things. And yet we think, well, you know, he didn't really mean that. Jesus was just kind of, he was kind of exaggerating. And we think we should do it like this. I've shared this many times, but I'll share it again. How many people in Scripture did Jesus pray to be healed? Zero. He didn't pray for a single person to be healed. He commanded the healing. He spoke to the spirits behind the infirmities, commanded them to go. He spoke healing. Why would he pray for something he's already got access to? You don't pray and ask for what you already have. Kingdom principle says you believe what God says you have and you speak. The word of God. Kingdom results. Faith is in your mouth and in your heart. You believe it. And you speak it. So the principles, again, allow us to unwrap the power and the promises to have the provision that we need. Well, let me go to the next one. No, I need to put this in right now. Now, on top of this teaching, you know what? I probably have to get through this, and then I'll add to it. Let's go to step number 6. You've activated the principles to unlock the promises to access the provision. What is step number 6? Anybody remember? Power. I said it several times. I don't know if you catch it or not. Once you have triggered spiritual principles, you've activated spiritual principles, applied them, the result is supernatural power. Your supernatural provision, whatever it is, it's healing, finances, peace, love, joy, relationships restored. It's the results of what you're believing for. Power is released to produce what you couldn't produce of yourselves, right? And in step number 7, Alma, process. Now, do you remember our number 1 step? Purpose, to know God. Process is the daily staying in connection with God to hear His voice to know what to do next. In other words, process represents a step-by-step path to get to the results you want. So what process is, it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, now they that are led of the Spirit are the mature sons of God, the weos of God, right? Process is being led by the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what it is. Is every day you hearing God, hearing the Spirit of God tell you what to do. And what process does is process ties us back to purpose. We're to know God, right? You know what keeps us before God more than anything else? I shouldn't say more than anything else. Our heart for God, right? Let's say second place. What keeps us before God? The challenges in your life. The needs in your life. The things you need God to show up in. Wanting to fulfill the plan keeps you before God. So process is the daily seeking God, staying in purpose, knowing Him, to fulfill all of this. Do you see that? So let's go through these steps again, very quickly. Our purpose is to know God. Once you get in relationship with God, He'll reveal to you a personal plan just for you. That plan is going to be greater than you can do of yourself, so you need His supernatural provision. But how do you get the provision? It comes in the form of promises in the Word of God. But how do you get the provision out of the promise? By applying spiritual principles, right? The result of applying spiritual principles to a promise to get the provision is power and all that comes about by staying in process, daily seeking Him to know what to do next. And we have a cycle form that keeps us day by day going after God and living by faith in His power. Do you see this? And I believe everything we're doing for the kingdom of God falls into this pattern, falls into this set of steps if you're going to do it God's way. Now again, my background is engineering. So as an engineer, engineers can validate this. Whenever you're faced with a challenge, you always look at the challenge and break it down into components to figure out how the components work together and what you've got to do in each area of the componentry to fix the problem. Right? Even a mechanic, he wants to fix a car engine. It used to be in the old times it was easier. Now you about need a computer to do it. But it used to be we would say, okay, I need this engine to run. It's not running. It's going to be either fuel, fire, or air compression. And you go through a set of steps. Okay, do I have gas in the tank? Yes. Well, do I have gas to my carburetor? You go crank the carburetor, see if you got gas coming in. If you had gas, okay, well, let's look at fire. So what do we always do? We'd pull the spark plug wire off and set it to the side and crank the engine and see if fire's flying. If fire's flying, must be air. Let's check the air filter. Let's check, whatever would cause us to lack compression in the engine. And through breaking it out in components, you could then fix the problem. Well, these are the components that I believe everything we're doing for God falls into these categories. So what we're going to go to in this teaching is we're going to look at the individual teachings we've done and see how they fit into this pattern. Do you follow me? Because the topics I teach, I always think, how does that fit into what I need to teach? You don't hear me teach very often on the archaeological proofs of the Bible. Is that a valuable lesson? I believe it is. Because when you realize the archaeological discoveries prove the Bible is true there, it helps you believe in for faith here. Right? It helps you understand that God's promise is real, so it has a value. But I've got to focus on direct assignments that help us right now go where we need to go. And I may teach archaeological proofs at times, may teach apologetics at times, but by and large, I'm going to teach stuff that we need right now to go to the next step or reinforce us for what we're needing to believe for right now. Did you follow that? Now, I want to go through something very quickly. In the past, I've also taught about five steps of living by faith. You remember the five steps? Revelation. I'm going to erase this line. Now, don't erase this week, this guys, because I'm just going to keep this intact and add to it next week. Step one was revelation. You want to live by faith. First, you need a revelation of what God says you have. I'm going to go through this very quickly. How many know revelation flows out of our purpose, knowing God? You know God, He reveals stuff to you. Just like He reveals your plan, which is a form of revelation, everything we're going to believe God for starts with believing that or knowing that it's available to us. What was the next step? Meditation, where do you think that would fall under? You could put it several places. I put it right here. Meditation is a spiritual principle. Meditation, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing. That's meditation. So we understand there's a spiritual law, a principle that says if you meditate scripture, that scripture becomes part of you, how you think, how you believe, and faith can arise out of that. Right? So understand, this is all part of the process, but meditation is meditating on a promise. So this assumes you've already got through these three, and now you're down here meditating on something you need, or you desire, or you want to see take place. What was step three? Application. Are you getting out of this? An application was three steps of its own, right? What were they? Speak. You guys are getting this. Act. Stand. And what I've done is I said application falls under a principle as well. It's applying the principle. So you meditated, you have faith, now you need to release the faith, so you speak the faith, you speak the promise, right? You act on the promise, because faith without works is dead being alone, and then you stand, having done all to stand ye therefore. Until step four. What's step four? Manifestation. Now, how would you tie manifestation in? That's power. Power. Manifestation is the promise being unwrapped, unveiled, manifested, right? So you see the end result of your application, the application of your faith. Then what was step faith? Five. You guys have actually scored an A+ today. Are you looking at notes or do you remember? I think I'll steer clear of that one. Restoration. Now remember, where's restoration? Restoration is having all the promises of God manifest in your life. You're healed, you're prosperous, your marriage is blessed, your children are serving God. Everything's working. The enemy has no areas to penetrate your life. Total restoration of everything the enemy's stolen. That ties. The process. Because that's what the Holy Spirit's leading you into. Is total restitution and restoration of all things. So we tie these five to these seven. Next week we're going to begin tying all the other teachings we do, or a list of them, to how they fit into this pattern. You follow me on that? So what I'm hoping this teaching does is it reinforces in your mind, we're not just kind of haphazardly teaching things. We have a purpose. We have a direction or a target we're trying to build within us. Amen? Everything ties into fulfilling that purpose to know God and to finish His work. Did you get anything out of this today?